Let's go have a picnic Thursday. Such a crazy, lazy day. Hope it doesn't rain.
Ellen!
It's Thursday again, Ellen.
Well, all right, we're back on track.
Almost perfect.
It's good enough.
But Alan Kuhn is coming in to talk about a little fundraiser that's taking place on Halloween, which is a Halloween happening at the Spotty Dog. There is going to be a haunted house and various other things for kids, plus a radio transmission. That's why it's called Trick or Transmission. So there you go. Bring the kids and have a lot of fun. And we're here in the cocktail lounge with Alan Kuhn from Spotty Dog Books and Ale on Warren Street in Hudson at 440 Warren.
440, yes.
Well, welcome, Alan.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
An honor. Wow.
An honor.
Well, you know,
I haven't been on the air yet on GXC.
Great.
You know, we're in the middle of a fun drive, too. But
I am hyper aware of that.
Yeah. I don't know how you couldn't be.
Yeah.
In fact, there's going to be a little fundraiser. I talked briefly about it earlier at the Spotty Dog on Saturday night, right?
That is correct.
Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yep.
So tell us what it's called, Trick or Transmission.
Correct. Obviously a play on Trick or Treat. Trick or Transmission is a two-part fundraiser for WGXC. It starts at noon on Saturday. We open at 11. So from noon to 3, we have a kids' haunted house, though I'm sure older kids will enjoy going through it and be scared. It's 95% finished. We're just spooking it up a tiny bit more. It starts at noon, goes till 3 p.m. Kids will line up in the back. It's actually in the garage, which is far spookier than anywhere else.
It's in the garage.
Ooh, yeah. Spiders and things, right?
Yeah, so I believe Galen and Echo will be lining the kids up, and then we'll be admitting them in small groups to go through the haunted house.
Real spiders?
There could be some real spiders back there. There's a lot of moisture, so that adds a creepy factor. We may commandeer some kids who are into it to help us scare other kids as a little work detail. Fun work detail.
Ooh.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's $5 to $20 suggested donation per family. So that means you get, if you have five kids, it's a better deal. If you have one kid,
it's an incentive.
Exactly. So right at 3 p.m., we're going to start setting up Slicky Armadillo and Cowboy Billy's Halloween show, and that's going to be in the front of the store. If you've never seen Slinky Armadillo or Slink Moss, he's done kids' shows before. If you think Screaming Jay Hawkins type stuff, but scaled back for children, it's great. He has songs about bones and zombies, and he's been at our store before in past years, and his kids' shows are great. And that is from 3:30 to 4:30, so if you'll notice the schedule, it gives you plenty of time to have fun on Halloween Day and then get out during the safe time of trick-or-treating for little kids, when you know, just before it gets dark to when it gets dark. So there's plenty of time to come in, have fun, and then head out and do your own trick-or-treating wherever you want. Can I add one more thing?
Uh-huh.
Go for it. Anything you want, actually.
During the haunted house, we're going to be streaming live the broadcast by a live sound collage by WGXC's own Tyson Hoff. Hoff or Hoff?
Hoff.
Hoff.
I believe.
That's from 12 to 2, and then Sam Sebring's Nothing Is Real radio hour from 2 to 3. That will be filtered into the haunted house along with some additional spooky sounds. So
it's a soundtrack that goes out over the air and into the haunted house at the same time.
That's correct. It's as if it was tailor-made for us, and so we're going to be blasting that as the kids are going through the haunted house. They'll be kind of crawling through. Yes.
Wow.
It's big. It's big enough for a grown-up to duck down and walk through, but it won't take that much time.
You'll get caught in the cobwebs.
That's quite possible, yeah.
What I was going to ask you is, do you have any idea of when it gets dark on Saturday night? Because we don't turn the clocks back until Sunday.
That's correct. Let me think. Thinking of my kids' bath time, it's usually dark by then these days, so probably around 7 o'clock, I'd say.
Oh, really? That late?
Yeah.
Maybe, I was going to say 6.
6:30 and 7.
It'll get darker soon.
Pretty soon it'll be dark at 4:30 when we leave.
Yeah.
Work. Yeah.
depressing to think about, but there you go.
I don't know why they still do daylight savings time, but it's
there's some reason about school children being safer in the morning, or is it at night? In the morning, I think.
Right, right.
So, well, this sounds like a great event.
We're very excited. We've been building it all week. I tend to wait until time is short to get really inspired, and then you can make quick decisions instead of agonizing over them.
Oh, so you mean what to use for the bucket of brains and things like that?
Yeah, and finding some zombies and decorations. And we worked really quickly and put it all together. So it takes up the entire garage space, and there's some light fixtures and sound fixtures that activate lights and lights moving around. It should be a really nice and scary sensory experience. I have two daughters, 6 and 4, and the six-year-old went through last night very reluctantly.
Oh, test case.
Yes, and then she went through about 20 more times, and the four-year-old would have no part of it. So, so what we're going to try to do for small kids is, number one, have their parents go through with them, and number two, maybe make it a little more lighter and less crazy so they actually enjoy it rather than it being a traumatic experience.
Well, Halloween is a funny holiday, I'll call it, because that's the way people seem to treat it.
Right, I heard you talking about it on my way over in the car.
Yeah, it is something that people spend an enormous amount of money on. I've heard statistics of how much people in the United States spend on Halloween, and it's pretty high, higher than you think. When you think of the candy and the costume and the...
I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and in putting together your costume, if you want to do something creative, the time involved can be pretty...
Right. And are you costuming yourself for Halloween?
Oh, yes. I was ordered by my six-year-old to dress up as a character in The Princess in Black. I'll be the Big Blue Monster. During the Halloween parade,
wow.
That's what it was.
Nice.
I was walking down
the Halloween parade. How was the Halloween parade? I missed that part of what was going on.
It was fantastic. It was it happened about 5:15 last Sunday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a walk down half of Warren Street. It's a great community event. It's a little bigger every year. And a lot of the parents get in on it and dress up, and a lot of the kids do all kinds of different costumes. And it's just great. And then there's trick-or-treating beforehand on all the Warren Street businesses who participate.
I did see some of the trick-or-treating people as they were going around, and the costumes were fantastic. I mean, people really went all out.
They really did. It's nice to see them in daylight because we all gather in 7th Street Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of nice to look everyone over in the daylight and see what kind of time they spend on it. But it's a great community event.
And your kids love getting dressed up, I bet.
Yeah, so in The Princess in Black, it's a children's story. And so my six-year-old is the Princess in Black, so she has a scepter and she does battle with the Big Blue Monster, which happens at home anyway.
Happens to be you.
Yeah. And then her younger sister, who's 4, is the faithful horse, who is black and also wears a mask. And then the Big Blue Monster likes to snack on goats, so my wife is the goat herder. So we're this ensemble cast from the book.
I don't know if I want...
What's the name of this?
The Princess in Black.
It's
a children's book. It's like an easy reader book.
He snacks on goats.
Yes, eats goats.
Poor goats.
No goats get destroyed during the book. The princess usually seems to stop...
Oh,
mayhem.
That's
okay.
Well before there's any gore.
That's good.
That's what the scepter is for, right?
Exactly. It's about 12 inches long, and it becomes about 4 feet long, and she whacks everyone with it. So I made her a scepter and spray painted and all of that, and we had to take it away from her because it was getting
mangled.
No, it became a weapon around the house. We had to take it from her and put it away until...
It's amazing. Your two sweet little girls do not look like ones who could do battle with the scepter.
All right, I need to have both of you over for dinner to dispel that myth immediately. they're both not shy. They love to have a good time, and they're crazy, and they attack me, and they attack each other. And they're good kids.
Just
but
like
they're
any
very
two
physical.
Sisters would.
Yeah.
Believe me, my sister and I shared a room at home, and there was a line drawn right down the middle. You know, you couldn't, like, step over that line.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Younger sister or older sister?
Older.
I never knew this.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
By how much?
5 years.
5 years,
yeah.
Okay.
Wow. I was the youngest. The problem was that the closet, the clothes closet, was on her side of the room.
Oh.
So
it sounds like the door was on your side, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The getaway.
Yeah, yeah, there's a Happy Days episode where Potsy and Ralph divide an apartment down the middle, and the bathroom was on one side, and the door was on the other. That's what it reminds me of.
Which would you choose?
Yeah, right.
Wow. Well, sisters, I hope you have a wonderful time and a nice big turnout of spooky characters.
Well, they should be trickling in all day. It's a nice long timeline, and it gives everyone, if you go to the, bring your kids to the farmer's market, you can come right down and go to the spotty. It's going to be running right at noon. We'll be all ready for everyone, so just stop in and we'll be ready for you.
Noon till one.
Noon till three is the the haunted house, and then from 3:30 to 4:30 is the Slinky Armadillo and Cowboy Billy show in the Spotty Dog in the bookstore.
Right,
part.
In the bookstore.
Yeah, and the suggested donation covers, which as I said earlier, it's $5 to $20 per family. That covers both the haunted house and the show, so you can get spooked, go out, have a bite to eat, come back and catch Slinky's show, and it's all covered.
Great.
We'd love to have you.
Wonderful. And all proceeds go to the WGXC community radio station.
Every penny goes to WGXC. Aww. We have a long, fruitful, and loving relationship with WGXC, and we do a lot of stuff for each other. And this event is one of those things. It's been so much fun to be inspired by the enthusiasm of everybody over here at WGXC and the and vice versa. So it's a great event to put on.
Well, thank you so much for doing it and for coming in to tell our listeners about it.
My pleasure.
We'll see you at the Spotty Dog, if not on Saturday, at one of your other events or concerts or trivia contests.
We'll be there.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks very much. Happy Halloween.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hello there. We're back in the studio.
Yes,
after
we are.
The 5 o'clock news break. And we're in the studio with a guest, Alan.
Yes, we're saying welcome to Scott Cohen.
Hello.
Who's, I should say, actor Scott Cohen, which is how I know what I know him as. And I'm sure there are other facets there that I'm going to hear about. Welcome to our luxurious studio.
It is luxurious. It's
luxurious, indeed.
Yeah. No one will ever know.
Now, you know, there is a train that actually runs through the middle of
most programming, so we have to pause.
Every once in a while.
Once in a while.
Well, it's kind of fun. It's kind of charming to hear the horn being, you know, every time they go across the street, they have to lay on the horn.
Is this that's the same train that goes through Chatham?
No.
Different
no,
train.
And this one merely goes down to the Amtrak station. We call it the grain train because it picks up the grain and takes it all the way from west to east here in Hudson.
Oh, wow.
Through 7th Street Park, or one corner of 7th Street Park, and then over to ADM Archer Daniels Midland.
I'm familiar with them.
Where they make flour. They grind.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I always thought they were in the Midwest, and that's it.
Nope. They're also here, and I assume other places. But the wild turkeys follow that train and pick up the grain as it drops on the ground.
The wild turkeys are very abundant this year, I've noticed.
Oh, yes.
It's crazy. I drove out at about 7:30 this morning, and there was not just a family. It was like a meeting, a convention.
Oh, yeah.
The
convention.
Road. Yeah,
well, they're getting ready, trying to figure out how to avoid Thanksgiving, I think. Don't you think?
That was a good one, Alan.
Yeah, that was a good one.
At my house, we have abundance of turkeys.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
Crazy. I wonder what, why that is. It's
I don't know. They like look out for each other. There's this one with like a broken leg or something. And he hobbles around. The other ones help him out. It's pretty.
They do seem like family. They do seem to suffer and grow together.
Yeah.
Well, as much fun as this is,
yes,
we're here
on
to talk about
more important things.
The film festival, but.
Yeah.
Let me first just ask Scott to tell us a little bit more about
myself.
About yourself and your background and what you've been doing lately.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm an actor. I'm local here in East Chatham, but I'm an actor, film and television and stage in New York, all over the world. Some things that people might know me from are The Gilmore Girls or The Tenth Kingdom.
Gilmore Girls.
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
Or NYPD Blue or a show I just did called Allegiance or a show I just recently did called Necessary Roughness. Lots of movies, lots of TV, lots of stuff. And about 13, 14 years ago, we decided to buy a house up here and stake our claim on Columbia County. We haven't accomplished our goal, which is owning the entire county, but we'll get there someday.
you could be...
mayor?
No, you'd have to be chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's never going to happen. I get involved in causes and then I then I run away. I think pretty much 2 years into our being here, we kind of found the festival and really kind of found people that were more like us and didn't even know that people like us were living in Columbia County. Meaning people like us, like kind of actors and writers. My wife is a writer, a screenwriter, and although there's actually in today's Chatham Courier, she's an illustrator of a children's book, and the front page has an article on her. We fell in love with the film festival and have kind of been with it since. And so we've done everything that we could to promote it and to bring people to it. And we've brought films to it, and I've been in films that I've brought to it. It's a great festival because it's not a competitive festival, which most film festivals are. So it's really for the love of film, for the love of cinema. And, you know, people just, I think the movies that are shown there are movies that people would not ordinarily see in this area, even in New York, really, because usually they're not, I mean, they're just not distributed that quickly.
The balance between documentaries and non-documentary films in the festival?
I think in the past it's been more documentaries because I just think that those are the films that they were able to get.
Yeah.
But I think in the last couple of years it's been pretty 50-50. They've got much more, a lot more narrative films, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But documentaries are wonderful to see too. I mean, places like Netflix have created a venue for lots of documentaries to be seen by everybody.
Right.
But
you don't see that they're not distributed to theaters all that much.
They're not distributed to theaters. So, I mean, to see them in on a big screen, in kind of a 35-millimeter format, it's wonderful. And to see actually most of these movies that you would not ordinarily see on the big screen, even in New York, where the screens would be almost the size of, you know, somebody's big TV. It's a much better way to see a film.
It sure is.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, the 16th year of the festival.
16 years, yeah.
Scott, I should tell our listening audience, was the moderator for a screenwriter's workshop took place both in Chatham and in Hudson, which leads me to say that this is the second year that the festival, which is run by the Chatham Film Club, also showed films here in Hudson.
Right. So just to distinguish between the two, the Chatham Film Club is basically the sponsor of the festival.
Right.
And the film club has a movie every Sunday that they show at the Crandell in Chatham, which is not the movie that's playing for the rest of the week at the Crandell. Usually an art house film, usually, which I think people could kind of like, if they want the opportunity, they could discuss it and talk about it and stuff like that, which that's how it kind of originated. But we have been, my wife and I had started this screenwriting workshop when we first got here, pretty much right after we met everybody, Calliope, Nicholas, and Peter Biskin, and just suggested, hey, maybe there's an opportunity to do some kind of panel that has to do with corralling local talent and to see what people have written or what they might want to write, and allowing New York City actors to come up and give them the opportunity to read their writing. And so it's been really successful mm-hmm. in Chatham. And then we've made the move to Hudson, which became a lot more successful this year than it was last year. But I mean, my goal is to really kind of include the Hudson community, which I think is just rich culturally and intellectually and artistically. And my goal is really not to just kind of stick with older writers, but I really would love younger writers to come to the workshop and kind of see where that's at. Because the philosophy of it kind of came from the idea that we live in the 21st century where you're able to make a movie really pretty much for nothing. And you could take your iPhone and make a movie. And but if you don't have a story attached to it, then you're really lost. So our job is to help you write that story. And so we'd love to kind of reach out to Hudson and feel that community.
Well, I think it's great. I'm so happy that the film festival has done this. Peter Biskind has been on the program in the past 3 years, I think. And he and I talked about it maybe it was 3 years ago when he first came on. He was talking primarily about how the films are shown and how they find the films and, you know, what the whole balance is and that sort of thing. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Otherwise, we'd have to start a film festival here.
In Hudson, yeah, which it would compete. I mean, I'm sure it would be very competitive. I mean, I think that it's, Hudson is such an interesting city to me. I spend as much time as I can here. It's just from east to west, it's really interesting. And I just think that it hasn't been. I mean, there are places that have tapped the artistic kind of vibe of it. You have TSL, and which I think is amazing. And you have Walking to the Dog Theater. I mean, these are just kind of like mm-hmm. in terms of that kind of stuff. But there's the community, and I actually know film. I just shot a movie in like the Albany area, Selkirk, East Bern area, mm-hmm. that from a guy that lives here in Hudson. And but he actually never even heard of the festival. And he grew up in Albany.
What?
He grew up in Albany, went to Bard, and lives in Hudson. Mm-hmm. Never heard of the film festival. So I mean, we need to really reach out kind of filter. I'm not exactly sure how to do it, but it has to be done. And being on the radio, on a show
yeah.
should be.
What was the? You said you're shooting a movie.
Yeah.
What was it?
It's called As You Are.
Was part of it. We
inside
have,
scoop.
We have more and
yeah,
more
we just finished,
film shoots here, and it sounded vaguely like the title of one that
it
was just
written,
shot here.
Written and directed by a guy named Miles Joris Peyrefeet, mm. Who's originally from Albany, Brooklyn, Bard, Hudson, with Mary Stuart Masterson, myself, a kid named Charlie Heaton, and a young man named Owen Campbell, and the girl actually, I'm forgetting her name. She was the African American girl from Hunger Games who was killed.
Oh,
Amandala, and I forget her last name.
The kid.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what her name
is. Beautiful girl. we're all really extremely talented, and just a great movie. I mean. It just happened that we happened to shoot it there, but more interesting was that he was from here mm-hmm. and had no
yeah.
idea that there was a film festival.
That's
you know,
so
10
cool.
miles away. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you swing a cat in Hudson or Columbia County, you're going to hit a writer
right.
or an artist of
right.
some
yeah.
sort.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So they're out there.
Yeah.
And
we want them.
You just need to spread the word.
Yeah. The other thing that, because the workshop, I see it as a way for community, for kind of inclusion of community, but it actually has turned out, and I can't give you names because I should have written them down, but there are people that have done readings of their movies at the workshop that have gone on to make their movie. So
I was going to ask
yeah,
you
so
that.
Yeah, so I would give you names, but I don't have them, but it's happened, so it's great.
Well, I went to the workshop here in Hudson.
Right.
And I had sent an email to, there's a group called Plays in Progress that actually meets at the Opera House on, I think, once a month on a Sunday. And they bring their work and they have actors come and read it. So it was, you know, a very similar experience.
Similar thing.
And the woman, Lisa, who's... play was one of the ones that
she part of that group
got workshopped that day was part of that group I was very happy that I was instrumental in getting somebody there.
I wonder if the feedback she got from us was different than what she's been getting back from the playwriting group.
I got the impression that the screenplay that she brought was not a play.
I thought it was maybe a play.
I don't know. I may be wrong on that. But
Lisa, if you're out there, come.
Give us a call.
Give us a call.
697-7400.
And while you're at it, donate to us. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, I found the workshop really great.
Cool.
And very interesting to somebody who's just an observer. Mm-hmm. I happen to be going through something a little similar because my older brother... broke his hip. He's 91. He lives alone. He's in Binghamton, which is hours away. My older sister lives in Colorado. So, you know, it's a similar situation where I mean, I can understand why she's next in line. I mean, she's older than I am and I'm, you know, ancient. So there you go. But I'm the youngest in the family. So it falls to me to try to take care of my brother.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's what the conflict in her play was of sister and a brother.
Right, right.
The brother, you know, had his life to lead,
right.
And didn't as we all do,
take care of the father, right?
Yeah, and usually it does fall to the woman in the family.
Yes,
anyway.
That's the way it happened in my family.
But. I don't mean to bring myself into it except to say that I thought it was very real to me.
It's cool. I thought it was too. I'm interested in what your screenplay might be though.
Well.
That'd be a good one.
That'd be a good one.
You think?
Yep.
The life of Alan Thurston next year. Everybody has a story, of course.
Everybody has a story. The life of Alan Thurston.
In fact, most people have more than one story.
Yeah.
But
most people, the workshop, because we get repeat offenders, and you do see themes in people's writing. So, and most people bring back, they don't bring the same thing back. They bring a different thing that they've been working on throughout the year. And it's fun to watch, actually, that, you know, that there's a very similar concept going on in each of their screenplays. And it's, you know, I think the greats usually have the one thing that they're trying to say throughout their entire careers, whether their movies, whether their genres change, it's always, you could always break it down to that one theme. It's actually sometimes pretty simple. So it's interesting to watch.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
if we can nurture it, you know, that's my goal.
I thought it was really, the great thing about it to me was that the actors were very involved in the feedback. And
yes.
You hardly stepped in at all.
Yeah, it depends.
Just let it flow.
If I'm needed, I step in. I try to facilitate and try to give anecdotal kind of information about what it's like to work on set and what it's like, you know, how things relate to certain other things. For me, it's, you know, that's part of what I think is the gift of coming up here and being an actor in it, is that you're not just reading, because a lot of times people don't read. So, you know, because if I might ask 10 people to come, often 6 people come. So it's, you know, I always ask a lot of people to come. And if everybody comes, then inevitably not everybody gets picked.
You mean the actors?
Actors, yeah. And this year I actually really tried to get young people involved. So I actually had 4 young people that came to both Chatham and Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually kind of expanded the lineup. But it's and then inevitably one person gets cast all the time. So one person is always kind of a favorite. So you don't if that's where you try to facilitate. Well, why don't you try to cast this person? Or and if we have time, we actually try to the
do
writer
more than one voice.
Yeah, so that they could recast it or and not feel bad about it. Just it's like a different take, fresh eyes, all that kind of stuff. But the gift of the actor coming to it is to be able to comment, which inevitably helps an actor. Be able to see things about themselves or whether they want to write and, you know, helps them kind of see what they're recognizing in someone else's material.
So have you ever tried your hand at writing a
screenplay? I have. I mean, I have a wife who's really good at it, so it's hard to kind of like, you know, I always question myself. But I have a short that I'm trying to get together and shoot.
I saw the film that you were in that was at the festival called The Jack of Red Hearts. The Red Hearts, which I thought, well, first of all, it was a three Kleenex movie for me.
A three Kleenex movie.
Yep.
That's a good term, Ellen.
Well, I'll tell you, it's tearjerker.
Yeah, it's a
no,
tearjerker.
It's very moving. It's a wonderful film, I think.
Thank you.
Did you have a good time making it? Good time is not the right description. But
I did have a good time making it. I had worked with Anna Sophia Robb, who plays the lead in the movie, before on a show called The Carrie Diaries, and really adored her. So that was really easy. And I really got along with the director. So not when you're doing movies or TV, you're not always getting along with everybody. I mean, that the goal is, you know, if you can, it'd be great. But, you know, Janet Grillo, who directed the movie, really was somebody who just listened to what I had to say. And I would say 99% of the time agreed and just allowed me to kind of do what I wanted to do and just kind of refine it and shape it and put it in boundaries. And that's what makes it fun.
It was we're giving it away, I guess, if I say it was about an autistic child.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I mean, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot there.
So the autistic child was played by a girl named Taylor Richardson, who's pretty phenomenal. She was Annie on Broadway, and she was 11 when she did this movie, and she was really kind of severely autistic. So, but Janet had rehearsed with her and had her watch lots of videos and talk to people. And she came up with really, really interesting, quirks and, ideas of how she wanted to create the character. I don't know how she did it or where she got it from exactly, but it came out beautifully.
Yeah. It's a wonderful film. I recommend that.
Excellent.
And
I had another film in there too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was called To Whom It May Concern, which was which showed in Chatham on Sunday.
It's a full-length film?
Yeah, it was directed by Manu Boyer. And it's a very, very dark movie, but really, really good.
Well, overall, would you say the film festival this year was a success?
The only way I know it's a success is from the sneak peek. And the sneak peek, which happens on Saturday nights, is you don't know what the movie's going to be.
Right.
And that theater is so full. It is it is hot.
It gets sold out immediately.
It's sold out. And it's, I mean, I don't know how many seats are in that theater. I would guess 500.
500 or 600.
Yeah. It is really packed.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, people love it. And Jack of the Red Hearts that played at the Crandell early in the week, I think it was on Tuesday actually, was like half full. So I mean, that's huge, I think.
Yeah.
And it was during the day. It was like a 2:30 showing.
Right.
So I mean,
wow.
I think that it's I would say yeah, it's a success.
The problem with showing films during the day in Hudson, everyone says, is because they're working, so you know. But that must be the same problem in Chatham. That
I think
films
any
that are
film
shown
festival,
at night,
everybody's working during the week. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
You know, unless it's the Sundance Film Festival where nobody is outside the industry is seeing a movie. It's everybody who's in the industry is seeing a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Every film festival is like that. So I think, you know, I mean, there's tons of movies that happen during the day and, you know, that the audience is. It's that, but that's not the measure of success. The measure of success is the people that do see it and the people that like it and the people that talk about it.
Right.
And because those that's what gives a production team behind that movie kind of an ego boost and a purpose, mm-hmm. and understanding that, you know, maybe this movie does have legs. Maybe it can work well,
right.
in, you know, in a movie theater. But it's film festivals should be national holidays, and you know the entire week should be.
But the I agree.
But the kids programs are on the weekends,
yeah.
and that's really good. And you know, there's like a 40-minute shorts.
I just loved. I signed up for 5 movies in Hudson, the whole day on Saturday. The only other time I've ever done that is I remember once in New York going to 2 movies back to back. One was an Andy Warhol movie. And I can't remember what the other one was. The Andy Warhol movie was showed a guy sleeping for hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
And hours. Well, it was Andy Warhol.
Right,
you
gotta see it.
It showed him sleeping?
Yeah.
It used to be, in New York, it used to be, when I was young, seeing 2 movies was like, of course, like there was no
double feature.
Absolutely.
I've never seen a
always.
Double feature.
Oh man. But people aren't willing to sit. First of all, movies are so much longer. It's like there's previews and there's commercials,
right.
and it's mm-hmm. like, it's like a half an hour, sometimes 40 minutes before you see
get
a movie.
Your Pepsi Cola
yeah,
now.
Yeah. So that just makes you, that's almost like the whole day. But it's, used to be not, it just used to be, you were so capable of moving from, and it wasn't too, you didn't go from theater to theater. You stayed
right.
in one theater and
right.
watched. And they had double features. I mean, they actually had double features. So.
Back in the day. I remember when they used to have serials. You'd see one part, it would be like a series of short films.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
See, I always wanted the festival to actually play shorts before the movies. But
good idea.
They don't do that, yeah.
You know, I saw the shorts program here in Hudson, and those shorts were not so short. They were pretty long.
They were pretty long?
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect the short to be?
You know, I can't tell you. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe
mine's going to be about 12 minutes. So
I was going to say about 15.
So nice. My shorts in the festival.
15.
You'd be like, that's perfect size.
But the
look
one
at that.
I saw that was so seemed long anyway. Fascinating film about an artist who would costume himself and have his picture taken in various guises as he got, you know, what he would look like when he was older, for example.
That's cool. Yeah. Oh, I think I saw a picture of that.
It was a really interesting film. Hmm. That seemed quite long.
Interesting. I didn't get to see that many, so I saw the sneak peek, and I saw actually the sneak peek was the only one I saw.
Did you? You didn't see Here Come the Video Freaks?
No, I was in New York. I was in New York.
The Video Freaks.
Two of the Video Freaks, a lot of them were still in the area, or it started in Woodstock, kind of, or that's where it coalesced. Perry Teasdale, who's now the editor of the Columbia paper here, a weekly newspaper, and Skip Blumberg, who's a video artist and who is married to Jane Aaron, who... the late Jane Aaron, I should say, whose animations were shown. I also saw those. But Skip and who did I just say?
Perry
Teasdale came to the studio, and we had a hilarious time talking about
cool.
it. Perry came in the door saying to Skip, I wish I could remember the cow song.
Yeah, the cow song.
Did you see it too?
Well, yeah, I was here in studio, but...
Did you see the movie?
Oh, no. No, I didn't see the movie.
Got it.
Anyway, I was really interested in that film because I was on staff at the New York State Council on the Arts at the time when, as Perry said, the big money came in and we suddenly had, I don't know, $37 million to spend or something. Those days are over, I think. But... And the Video Freaks, there was a film program at the council, a funding program, and the video people showed up saying, you know, we need funding too. and no one could understand the difference between video and film at that point.
All right.
I mean, it was was a really new
thought
about how you make a film.
Right.
So we had a good time talking about all of that, and the film is really interesting too.
I'll have to see it, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's good so, that, I mean, I love that one of the great things about the festival, and you won't find this in any other festival in the world, is that it allows a local talent pool to reach out and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Or, you know, I mean, I actually just wrote an email to Peter and Calliope and said, hey, I happen to have two movies that are floating around. Do you guys want to check them out? And yeah, of course. I mean, so it was... I feel like that there's, you know, it's not just the fact that there's so much talent here, but that the festival is open to seeing, promoting that talent, and which I think is really important. I mean, it's not, you know, I think that's great.
All those other festivals don't have the same talent pool that we have.
They don't. Well, they might. I don't know.
I don't know.
The New York Film Festival.
I don't know either. I
just talent pool.
Thought
but
I would.
But it's all competition. Mm. So you know, it's all political and it's all competition. And not to say that this is not. You know, I'm sure there's some politics here, but it's more. You know, in other festivals, it's just because it's competition, people are a little bit more cutthroat.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, have you ever been to the Woodstock Festival?
Yeah, sure.
I've never been.
It's great. I mean, they are competitive, or they're competition, I should say, not competitive. And they have an enormous array of big talent that's kind of attached to it.
I was going
to
say they have a talent pool, too.
Yeah.
All right, I take it back.
Yeah,
we're
right.
We're not the only ones.
Right. Yeah. No, we're not the only ones. But they seem to be slightly in competition with us. I'm not really sure why. Like,
well... I think, you know...
The nearby. But there's the Green County Film Festival, which is like really independent, very avant-garde film.
Where is that?
That's, I don't know where they hold it, but it's somewhere.
Have you ever heard somewhere. Of that, Jake?
In Catskill.
I have not,
it's
actually.
Catskill.
Oh, really?
Catskill.
Is it?
Yeah, Catskill.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That sounds really interesting. I haven't been, but it sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Like the very kind of... what do they call it? Like video art and, you know, stuff like that.
Avant-garde stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that has a place, too.
Absolutely. No doubt. If you're going to watch Andy Warhol, you're going to be
So, we have to work harder at getting more people.
Yes.
To the Hudson part of it.
Yes.
So we can have even more films next year.
Yes.
And we'll try to do our part.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. So, thank you for having me on the air.
Thank you.
I love being on the air.
Have you ever done much radio?
One of my dreams is to have my very own radio show.
Listen, I can have it here.
Yeah, I don't have the time to commit. That's the only problem.
Well, it can be once a month. It doesn't have to be every
Silence.
Week.
Silence.
Pause.
Here I have.
What did I say?
This program is 2 hours every week.
Oh, it's just once a week, this program?
Yeah.
Oh. What do you call it, this program?
The Thursday afternoon show.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
When is it on?
You don't even have to be creative with your show. You can just throw it out there.
The once a month.
The once a month show.
Someday show.
You're right.
Once
I mean,
in a while
it could be
show.
Anything.
Once in a while show.
You know, when I say to people, it's you know, they say, what do you call your program? I say, it's the Thursday afternoon show. When is it on?
Interesting.
They must be Friday.
It must be on Friday, right?
Yeah. Friday.
Wow.
Anyway.
Who have you said that to?
Oh, people who are trying to make fun of it. You know
nice.
How it goes. Well, thank you so much for coming
yes,
in.
Yes,
thank you for having me.
I it's should remind people that we've been listening to actor Scott Cohen, who is here working on the film festival and has been for 14 years.
Yeah.
So we're happy to have, we should, you know, I think it's good to have a little look at the whole thing and determine what went right, what went wrong, all of that kind of
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
So.
What do they call that? Monday morning quarterbacking?
Sometime, one day of the week, I don't know which one.
A powwow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Somebody's in that powwow. I'm not in it. I'm just here.
Well, that's good.
I just promote.
And if there's anybody out there in the world, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice, please call us. And you could pledge when you call, of course. It's easy, 697-7400. But if you have any comments on the film festival, we'd like to hear them.
Of course. Of course.
Meanwhile.
Thank you.
Thank you to Scott Cohen. And we'll see you next year, if not before.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
See you guys. Thanks.
And anytime you want to be on the radio, just kind of shout.
Okay.
We'll hear you.
Be careful.